Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Does your wife ever interact with you? It's always your son. Is your wife alive?
No, she leaves.
Hide nor hair of her.
She leaves before we start.
Oh, okay.
All yeah. Right. She's got
you
stuff
sure about
to do.
That?
That's what she said in the note.
The note that she had.
Yeah.
Awesome. Or like
Summer
Elvis
in the City.
Say, hot town, summer in the city. Late for school and the girls are pretty.
Forgot my shoes.
I forget my shoes in the car. Old McDonald had a farm. Shoes in the back of the car. Do you believe in magic?
When someone would bring a magazine,
yeah,
a la Playboy, Penthouse, a magazine
we,
like that, Swank.
All great.
Jugs.
Oh, Jugs is for a more exotic look.
I'm trying to think if there are any other ones.
Cherie. Cherie! Ah, you win!
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine. And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I would say there's a good chance that it is the rule as opposed to the exception that most people who have kids believe that they are pretty good parents. I think that you don't get many circumstances where they go, oh, I suck. Not as many as parents that say, I think we do a really good job with our kids. I think most parents like to
think they do
a good job with their kids.
And I think all of them think their kids are exemplary.
Or exemplary.
Is it exemplary? Yeah, forgive me. They're certainly better at words than I am.
Full scholarship.
Oh, relax, Betty.
I called Rob Betty before the show.
I didn't care for
it. He was talking about a pineapple corer.
You try to cut up a pineapple by hand, you'll be buying a corer.
Remember when I did the Dos Equis commercial about you years ago?
The world's most interesting man? Hey, I'm still here.
I don't want to get sidetracked.
No, let's move on. Most people think they're good parents.
And I fall into the category of I think that we are engaged parents. We pay attention to our kid. I am a better parent than I was when my first two children were born in my previous marriage because I was not only more career-focused at that particular point, and I wasn't able to work from home, and I did a lot more traveling, and I was younger. And I thought I probably didn't have my priorities straight as far as being engaged as a parent. And I see younger parents now that are very engaged in their kids, and I admire them because I think that is a wonderful thing for young fathers to do. With that said, I have to also say that we pay attention. We are going down to his school today because they celebrate, like a lot of schools do, when kids have summertime birthdays. They take all these summertime birthdays, and they have different days that they celebrate
right.
their kids' birthdays
did
at
you
school.
Did you secure your donuts yet?
No, I did not. No. But as we move through, this is where the bad parenting comes in because when I am really frustrated with my son, I do not necessarily hold back my expressive nature. And, you know, in this business of podcasting and public chatting, we have potty mouths sometimes.
Sure.
And so today, it is roughly a half-hour drive for me to drop my kid off at school. I leave the house at 10 minutes after 7. I get up at 5 a.m. to prep this show, and then I'm off at about 10 after, about 8 to 10 after. That allows me to get down there and get back for the show taping, and I usually have everything done that I've already needed to do. So we're driving down. And at, I would admit, if it's a half-hour drive, at the 28-minute mark, as I am sitting at the last traffic light before the light that, before the driveway that goes into his school.
Right.
From the back seat, I hear, Dad, I have to tell you something. I said, yeah, what? I forgot my shoes. And I said, what do you mean you forgot your shoes?
Yeah.
Like you came out, said, yeah, I forgot. What, you weren't wearing your shoes when you walked out of the house? I was sitting in the car waiting for him because he was dragging his feet. And he says, no, Dad, I forgot my shoes. And at that point, I won't share with you exactly what happened, but I immediately say to myself, okay, we are half an hour away from home. It's before 8 o'clock in the morning. I do not believe that any place where I could, I suppose if I wanted to go to a walk, I'm not going through that. I don't like the idea that I am sitting there processing that I have to get effing shoes on my kid's feet.
It's an hour. It's an hour of travel to get his own shoes. Now, Mike, is he in socks? Is he got bare feet? Or where,
he's wearing socks.
Yeah.
He comes out of the house with his diorama, you know, where they put everything in a shoebox.
Yeah. What was it? What was it conveying, his diorama?
I have no idea. Sorry, now, that's where I'm a bad parent. Yes,
Mike,
Josh.
I also have a 10-year-old son. So
it's
I go through this.
It's forgetful time, right?
I go through this all the time. We have gone many times where we get somewhere and he does not have shoes.
They hate
shoes. So you. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if it's a Florida thing.
Might be.
Or versus up north. Yep. Because everyone's barefoot down here.
It's amazing.
But we keep an extra pair of Crocs in the inside of the car.
Forward thinking.
Carla's car, in my car, sitting on the left side of the rear seats are shoes. If we had taken my car, he would have had his shoes. So I call Mrs. O'Mara, who I gave the morning off. She normally does the driving because I'm doing this in the morning, but I can get this done. We go live for people that are now streaming the show live, and by the way, you should, at 8:15 every morning, sharp.
Yeah, which whether really, or not you have shoes, tune us in.
Whether you have shoes or not. So I call Mrs. O'Mara, and I said, guess what? And she can tell from my
Was she tired when she answered? Was she sleepy?
She's concerned because, no, she's up.
Okay.
She's up. She's using the morning to get T-shirts processed.
Right, right.
That's what she's doing. And so she knows from my tone right away that I say, you know, guess what? Guess what? And it was just, and so I use language that I normally wouldn't use. I apologize to my son for using that language, but I was frustrated.
What were some of the words by the first letter?
Fudge.
Oh, that's the big one.
I said.
But I didn't say
he
fudge.
He didn't bring his effing shoes. And.
Did you break this one
out? It's not like 10-year-olds have never heard that word before.
That's
Mike, they're online and they hear that word.
Did you break this one out, which would happen? My kids never forgot shoes, but they had their shortcomings. And I would say, your child.
Your kids never forgot shoes ever?
I don't think so. I think
I really think it's a Florida thing.
Maybe it
because
is because they. Let me ask you about your 10-year-old. When you pick up your 10-year-old, because you do school drop-off too,
I do, yes.
When you pick up your 10-year-old, does your 10-year-old kick off the shoes right away?
Sometimes before we're even home.
That's it?
Yes.
So see, Robert, remember, Robert was a shoehead from an early age. He loved his shoes, so it was never an issue with him.
My son is into shoes too, but he isn't into keeping them on, especially after the school day is over. He kicks them right off, and he leaves them in the car, which is another bone of contention.
That's bad. So when you're talking to Carla, did you say you won't believe what your kid did? I've said this
after. So the initial reaction, Carla gets the reaction from me, and she says immediately, bring him back. I'll take him back down to school. Her morning off.
Yeah, but that's
from that particular.
He's going to be an hour late, then, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what. What are we going to do about it?
Send him in without shoes.
Send him in without shoes.
It's Florida.
Yeah,
walking around in socks all day long.
Right.
We're going back down later because he's got the birthday party. We're going down with the four dozen donuts because he's got his little birthday celebration. At 1 o'clock this afternoon.
48 donuts and two shoes.
Did you get your outfit approved for this afternoon?
Yeah, that's a big deal.
To make sure you look like a dad.
Even though I'm wearing the tie-dyed golf shirt, this has been child approved. But I'm gonna up the ante.
Oh, you're gonna wear shoes?
I go down there. I'm gonna wear a tuxedo.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna wear a tuxedo. It was and then he possesses the trait that I have, And it's a trait that I do not regret that I have.
Oh,
and that is
excessive good looks.
No, you know that I am capable of contrition and remorse.
This is true.
I am capable of when I fly off the handle or when I say something incorrect. I do it on the show on the fly occasionally. I did it. Somebody was talking about when I was yelling at somebody online for calling my kid the Beast, and then Josh pointed out, "Well, the Beast is what the coach called him," and
yeah,
I immediately
it's flattery, actually.
Filled
yeah.
myself with remorse. There are people, certainly people in media, certainly people in politics, that are incapable of admitting even the most mindless, irrelevant mistake.
Yeah,
I do not possess that chip. So my son is immediately filled with remorse. And immediately, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And when he does that, I say, you know, this was brought on by your attitude with your mother this morning, which there was.
There's a backstory? I didn't realize there was a backstory.
That this morning there was not prompt. And by the way, let me tell you what my kids' wonderful morning consists of, all right?
All right.
We are up. We are preparing the day. We take the dogs out. I'm taking the trash out of the bin. He's sawing wood, and we're going to let him get his beauty sleep until the last possible second. When he gets up and he is gently awakened by his mother, a task I normally do, and we get him up. I get him up easy. I do put the lights on, but then it's like a very loving welcome to the day, you know. Good
Which is to be,
you.
I mean, it's not because you are, you know, amazingly indulgent parents. It's because you want the morning to go well. That you got to be careful when you wake a kid up.
And I love my
kid.
Because
they can set the tone. Yeah, you do. I'm not saying you don't.
I want it to be, I just want it to be good. And then yesterday, he was so thrilled with his frozen Kodiak extra fluffy blueberry waffles that I said last night when I was putting him to bed, I said, I'll make you those waffles again. And I'm not making them. I'm putting them in a toaster. But they are so thick that they barely fit in, and they're great, and they smell
Does he know
phenomenal.
They're just frozen?
They're frozen, yeah.
Yeah, does Kodiak, he know that? Or does he think you're going through all this effort
to make
them?
No. He knows they're popping out of a toaster.
Are they so thick that they are two-cycle toaster waffles?
No. No, they're at number 7 on our toaster. We have a 7 setting. Yes. They do okay on the
Do you have the Betty?
I'm like a domestic cat.
Do you have the Betty brand toaster?
No, I don't have the Betty brand.
The Betty 2000.
I was talking about you when you're the most interesting man in the world, you know. Come in, you know. I'd love to have Rob come in. What happened to you? I got mugged yesterday. But anyway, I'd love that too. You have to leave the house to get mugged. So here's the thing. I have a very nice morning for him, and then I take the frozen, extra fluffy Kodiak waffles, and I put the individual blueberries, cultivated blueberries, not Maine blueberries, the fat ones that are really not blueberries.
I know.
I put them in the individual squares of the waffle and put his maple syrup out and his orange juice that I picked up yesterday.
Are they just in the squares, or do you spell something with the blueberries?
God, you know what?
Don't forget your
every
shoes.
Time I think I'm too domesticated, I look at Alton Betty Brown over here.
Betty Brown,
who is the most domesticated, the man who would never. You could live if you got groceries exclusively delivered. You'd never leave your home if you didn't have
could
to.
Could never happen, Mike. I gotta see.
Although
him,
you
gotta
are
touch
going
him.
To, you're going to a concert. We'll have that later in the
yes,
show. I
yeah,
can't
it's
wait
huge.
To hear about that. So you are leaving, which is great.
Yeah.
I love it when you do concert reviews and stuff. So getting back to my point,
right?
It's
so you
a
didn't
good,
spell anything.
It's a good morning. And then we put on YouTube the highlights of the people I like to call now, the F-ups.
And we
see how the Red Sox can F up another baseball game with one of their best pitchers on the mound, who has a fabulous ERA but a terrible one-loss record because they suck every time he's on the mound. Sorry, I don't want to spiral out of control here.
Doesn't sound like you are.
But Tampa is not a powerhouse, and
they still have a team down there.
They're a powerhouse when the defense doesn't play in back of them. But hey, so he's got a good morning, and then when it's crunch time,
go get your teeth brushed, get ready, get up there. He takes his shower the night before. Right. All we need is the teeth brushed and put the outfit on, and he's given his mother. I'm focusing on doing some show prep, so I am not paying all that much attention. And we've got another puppy in the house that, you know, I named the dog, or my son named the dog Stubby.
Sergeant
but
Stubby.
I should have probably given it another name when I brought him in. Psycho.
Hold it. So, this is brand new. He was so full of love not 48 hours ago. What
he's coming
makes
into
him
his
psycho?
Own.
I mean, puppies are energetic. Don't you remember this?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right. So the attitude that he copped about just getting his ass into the bathroom to brush his teeth and get ready was something that actually stopped, and Mrs. O'Meara, you know, calls on me. You know, I'm sometimes referred to as the hammer, and the hammer's, you know, the hammer goes, and I have to pull the microphone away. I'm just like, say, get in your room and get ready now. That's what I give him.
Sure.
And he hears it, and he goes, and then he yells back at me today, which is not really acceptable.
Oh, that's
new. Dad, I was. I said, don't yell when I yell.
That's it. Do as I do. No, do as I
say.
So
it was not a perfect morning. And then when the shoes were left behind, I realized, well, that's where it came from. And we had, and there was plenty of remorse on my son's part. The lecture consisted of, this sprung from the bad attitude this morning, where you were thinking more about arguing than you were about getting it done. So, I mean, we're all parents here. We all know what the deal is. We know what the drill is. Everybody, you know, and you guys both understand how it works. In Josh's case, he has a 10-year-old like I do. And, you know, it's just
I've had two 10-year-olds. I can relate. Yeah, absolutely. Julia was a little more easygoing. Could be a guy thing. Robert was
the forgetful
a bit
thing. Yeah, I had two daughters, so I don't know. But, I mean, my son does that. And we're having a really great, nice drive down. So Mrs. O'Meara Mia says, bring him back. I'll take him back to school. But we have no choice. That's what we're going to do. So it's an hour right there. At that particular time, it is an hour, which means he will be a half an hour late for school. I drop him off right about 7:30, so he is half an hour before. They're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock. And on the way back, I realize, so there's a little added traffic. Now, it doesn't matter. We're taping at 8:15. I'm making it with that time. With that scheduled start, it would have to be an absolute cataclysmic traffic issue for me not to make it back. But I do notice that, and this is the crew that comes into our neighborhood, the landscaping crew. When I used to drop my kid off at the bus at 6:30, they were pulling in right before 7 a.m.
Okay.
Which if you are in the landscaping racket down here, that's your go time. That's when you're getting it done. That's the way – it's the nature of the job. So the slacky McAckers that are out there at, you know, going to their job at 9 a.m.
Right.
For a landscaping job, who are in the left lane going 12 miles per hour, that was my deal also. I was like, you know, shouldn't you – be at the job site, Mr. Scholarship. Now, there are people that say, maybe they were already and they're going to the next job. Well, I don't know that, but I have to bitch about something.
I understand.
I'm having a crappy
morning. Now, wasn't a part of you a bit calmer because at this point you were out of the situation? You just had to deliver him home. It wasn't
you're right. I immediately calmed down because it's on her and she does not have any faces to wash this morning, I believe. And so, but she was using the opportunity to handle some stuff for TMOS and also just to chill and having extra. And when you're, Josh and Rob, you can both relate to this. When you have kids, 45 minutes is, stealing 45 minutes is a big deal.
If you've got a system down, if you have a system, 10 minutes is a big deal.
Right.
I mean, before you were able to sort of calm down and let Carla handle it, what happened is an hour was stolen from you that gave you nothing.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it that big. I would, but I just would say that the whole thing is,
it makes me realize, and for all you children that might be listening to me right now,
we're very big in the 12 and unders.
Hopefully kids, they're in school.
No, there are lots of but there are kids that will listen to this when they're in the car with their parents.
That's
kids,
true.
Listen to me. Up. Listen up. Listen up. When you screw up, what it results in is mommy and daddy tightening up the reins a little bit. Mommy and daddy realizing that they have not probably disciplined you enough as they should, and they have let things slide. So if you want that loosey-goosey parenting style to continue, don't screw up.
You're right.
Live up to your responsibilities. Take care of business. Take care of what you're supposed to be taking care of. You know, and then Carla, when she was leaving, made me laugh because she's like, "Well, I guess we won't be." And she said it like, "Mommy, dear."
What did she say?
She's walking out. I guess we won't be going taking donuts to his birthday party after all.
Oh no!
Which was funny because we will. And then Rob asked me about, "Do you think I have to call?" I don't have to call ahead, do
no,
I?
No, that's what they do. They make donuts. They have them.
All right. Is your son going to teach the high school kids?
Yes, he is. Very much so.
Does your wife ever interact with you? It's always your son. Is your wife alive?
Well, Mike, I prefer not to answer that here. No, she leaves.
Hide nor hair of her.
She leaves before we start.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. She's got
you
stuff
sure
to
about
do.
That?
That's what she said in the note.
The note that she had.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, I saw her this morning, and we spoke in the kitchen, and she made her coffee, and I made my tea. We had a lovely morning.
Well, that's good. All right, so you're excited because you have informed us that you are going to a concert.
Not just a concert, Mike, but a brand-new venue that I've never been to before in Bethesda. It's called the Strathmore Concert Hall. Now, there's a smaller...
Is it new, or is it just that you haven't been there?
I haven't been there. I think it's new-ish, probably in the last 10 years. I've been to a... There's a smaller Strathmore Hall where I saw John Sebastian that's actually in Bethesda, but this is like a symphonic thing.
Is that the Welcome Back Carter guy?
My mom has had a crush on John Sebastian since he was in the Love and Spoonful, so I took my mom to see John Sebastian.
Okay. All right. All right. There. All right.
Okay. She that's got her picture with him.
Were you bored?
No, he's great. Great storyteller. Good musician,
really?
Actually. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, if you think of the Love and Spoonful, they had a lot
I love
of
the
hits.
Love and Spoonful.
Yeah.
I remember them. Okay. So you get a free pass. I'm not sorry for that. I was just like.
That's all right. I live to make you
do
dead.
You believe in magic?
Yeah.
In a younger.
Or like Summer Elvis in the City?
Say, hot town, summer in the city. Late for school and the girls are pretty.
Forgot my shoes.
I forget my shoes in the car. Old MacDonald had a farm. Shoes in the back of the car. Lip to the mother,
rare.
And now we're late. Shoes left in the car. With a screw up here and a screw up there. Here a screw up, there a screw up, everywhere a screw up, screw up. Do you believe in magic? All right. So you're going to the Strathmore.
Yeah. Now, and this is cool.
Is that a rich guy that got the naming rights to a building or something
I
like that?
I think so. I know that the hall, I did a little research. It's beautiful. It looks like it's acoustically perfect. It's got sort of that wooden sort of tiers of wood leaving off.
It would tell
stage.
Me mid-tier artist, though, because it's not like a big place. Like
Mike,
a
it seats
pavilion.
One. It suits one. It seats 1,976
that
people.
That tells me it's a smaller venue. It's not like a...
And
you know,
I'm okay with that because it's an intimate style show that we're seeing. It's a place...
Right.
Julia saw this guy with me in right before she went to school, so 99.
Richard Carpenter?
No, it's not. Mike, you're close. You're
all
actually
close.
Hold on.
Close. Let me guess. Let me continue the guessing. Not Richard Carpenter.
It was 2019 we saw him.
Barry Williams.
I'll give you a hint.
Rachel Ray?
No, it's not food related.
Lizzo.
That's also food related, no?
All right.
Mike, the clue is he's the only guy to have a number one hit as a vocalist and as an instrumentalist.
Weird Al Yankovic.
No, the answer we're looking for, Mike.
I want to.
No.
God damn it.
Damn it. I thought
you
were
done. You
can't
keep it in your pants.
Well, the... Mike.
You mentioned Herb Albert like 2 weeks ago. You mentioned
yeah, and so I'm excited. I'm going to see him again, which is very, very
well, didn't
cool.
You already mention it? So it's not like new news.
Well, no, but Mike, it's new news that we're going tomorrow and that Julia is coming up
from Richmond.
It's
pretty big news that he's still alive.
He's 89 and still touring. And I watched, he's on a tour. I mean,
we're living longer as Americans now.
Yeah,
so you're seeing a
Mike,
lot more of that.
This will thrill you nonstop. He is now married, well, has been for many years, but he is married to the lead singer from Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66. So
who
we will not only
is
get
a little long in the tooth herself.
Yeah, I think she's probably she's seen 80 in the rearview mirror. Her name is Lanny Hall. So we'll hear some delicious bossa nova and also stuff from the Tijuana Brass and his modern stuff. You know that the song Rise was such a big hit. I didn't realize this. It was a number one hit. He performed it on Soul Train. That's his piano player.
There
of
we
course.
Go. Yeah.
Great
Herb Alpert, ladies and gentlemen. This is from 55. This is from 130 years ago.
It's not 130 years old, Mike. Come on.
All right, Herb. He was a cool guy. And he was the president of a record company, too.
Yes, he was. Oh, and he also, this is his number one vocalist song.
This guy's in love with
yes,
you.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Stimulating video. From 1912.
Mike, it was 1968. He also signed the Police. He signed the Go-Go's.
This
he
guy's in love. This guy's in love with you, Herb Alpert.
Yes. He's the A in A&M Records. Very, very pivotal guy in the music industry. I'm a super fan.
I think I had him on the show years ago. Had him on the show.
And was that cool for you to meet him back then? Because that was 40 years ago.
No.
You're kidding.
No,
he wasn't impressive to you?
He was a big name. Herb Alpert's been in music for a long time, and I think we had him on where his record company leadership was almost as big as being a musician and an artist, because there was a period of time where it was A&M Records.
Yeah.
Alpert and something else, right? Is that what it was?
Jerry Moss.
And, Alpert and Moss, is that what the A&M was for? And they had a ton of artists that were in their stable back then. So that's when it was a big deal.
I believe, Mike, I do remember, I am before anything else, a radiophile. I remember the original interview with him. He was promoting the song Diamonds, I believe, that he had with Janet Jackson.
And the other thing for people that are TV historians, Herb Alpert, correct me if I'm wrong, was the background music for a lot of game shows in Los Angeles.
A ton
right?
of them. A ton of them.
Like
yeah.
Dating Game and the Newlywed Game.
And you can find most of those on the album Going Places. I have all of his LPs in stereo and mono because I'm an idiot. I have double copies of them.
That's why you are the most interesting man in the world.
Well, Mike, you know what? When the most interesting man in the world has the opportunity to spend an evening with one of his favorite artists who is still alive, I think
that's pretty exciting. Are you taking your mom?
No, I'm taking Julia because we went 5 years ago. And she's actually into it. And we met. We hung out. The last time we saw him, it was in D.C. It used to be the Gold Club. It was a strip club that they converted into a music venue, and it was not.
That's downtown, right?
Way deep downtown, like way behind the Hex Warehouse or the old
Got
Hex
it.
Building.
Yep, I know that area. Yeah, few clubs
and
down
so
there.
It was such a small venue. We were able to hang out after it because we saw the limos, and we got a chance to meet him, and he was very cool. And it was.
I think
very...
I took when it was the Gold Club. I think I took one of my attorneys there, and he threw up.
There's a plaque there. Because
I think we went. Remember when I paid that bet off and I went to Club Wet?
Yeah.
I went to the gay bar where I had to,
you had
wear
to wear
the,
a leather
vest and no shirt.
Yeah.
And then we went to the Gold Club afterwards. And I think, I think one of my attorneys.
Were you in the same outfit at the Gold Club?
I brought a change of clothes.
That's nice. But what
by
was
the
nice-
way, that bet was paid off when the dancers at the gay men's club came
club
out
wet.
On the stage naked and danced over the bar where I was sitting.
And Mike,
that
remember
was,
there
I call that the high point of my career.
Mike, remember there were showers. Up on the stage, which is why they called it Club Wet, because they'd shower on stage. Yeah. I'm not sure why the bet happened that we all had to go with you.
I think it was a baseball bet.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that if we had made it better.
You all went with me to look at me, to watch me in that situation.
I guess. I would have been.
It was a different time.
It really
was. A different time.
But anyway.
I think nowadays we would just send a camera.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to send everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, I would be. I'd have a live stream
so to speak.
Some might
have your face.
No, I'm not doing that.
I'm not going there. But Mike, it was nice to meet Herb Alpert and introduce my daughter as literally a fourth generation fan. He thought that was very cool. So it's nice. I'm looking forward to it.
There is a British comedian that is floating around, since we're talking about a gay men's club. He's not gay, but he is a controversial comedian. And I am not sure. British. He dresses very nattily, and he wears a suit and tie.
Is it Benny Hill?
It's not. Come on. Please stop being you today and come up with something modern. Please.
Oh, sorry
please,
about that.
Something even post-1980 I'd take. God, 89-year-old musician. Live in the now, as Wayne would say, or Garth would say. I'm trying to think what this guy's name is. In any event,
yeah.
I'll get his name before the end of the show.
Thank you.
And he is always talking about saying controversial things. And he had a joke. And if I get in trouble for this, if I get us canceled, remember, I set it up saying there was the possibility of that happening.
And you're just quoting someone else.
And his joke was a transgender joke. And I did not find this offensive. I hope no one does. If it does, it's my mistake, and I'm sorry. But his joke is as follows. Have you noticed that transgender people aren't like they used to be?
Mike, there's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't think there was.
Nothing wrong at all.
I get paranoid. I get paranoid in this day and age. I really do. I get a little concerned about things like that. But that's it. I'm going to find out the guy right now. I'm going to do
okay.
that. I swear to God. And then will Herb Alpert have an opening act?
No, because he's got his whole band. And Mike, you would love the fact that the last time I saw him, he has a piano player, he has a drummer, and then he has a guy that does keyboards and various other things to fill in. But obviously, you know, Herb's trumpet is the lead. And it's just, he's a wonderful performer, and you're going to, you know, every song he does. And he's a great storyteller. So it's exciting to see. And, of course, his wife has had a few hit records, too. So there'll be no if it tracks with the last tour, there'll be no opening act. So okay. We shall see. Maybe your British comedian could open for him.
And is your daughter coming all the way up from wherever she is to do
yeah,
this?
Yeah, from Richmond. Yeah, home? Absolutely. Right. She is so sweet that she is. Mike, is it Jimmy Carr?
Jimmy Carr. Thank
yes.
you. Yes. Right. Thank you,
Jeff.
Who pulled Jimmy Carr?
Mr. Jeff Ward. Yeah.
Jimmy Carr. Way to go. Very good. All right. That's it. Now I can rest easy and we can go to break.
Oh, you want to?
I do. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Because then, I want to get that done.
Then we shall.
Very good. Have a great time at the show.
Thank you. I'll give you a full
report
on Monday.
We've got the round table.
Yes.
Thank you. We've got the round table coming up. And later in the program, a creepy teacher. And you know you're getting old when you outlive something. I'll tell you all about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Mike O'Meara Show, and we thank you for being here. Ladies and gentlemen. This portion of our program brought to you by Mad Rabbit. Did you know 30% of Americans have tattoos and 40% of people under 35 have tattoos? If you have some killer ink, you're going to love today's sponsor, Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit, committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare. Josh is holding it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Rabbit creates simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. It was founded by two friends who love tattoos. Their hero product, the Tattoo Bomb, revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with clean and natural ingredients, and it's effective on both new and old tattoos and all skin types. Julia, who Rob's getting together with tonight,
Can't wait to see how great her tats look when I see her tomorrow for the
They got all the products
concert.
You need,
yes.
A tattoo sunscreen, soothing gel, tattoo lotion, and more. Time to try out Mad Rabbit. They preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use promo code TMOS25, that's the new one, you'll receive 25% off. Remember, that's a different code, 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use our promo code TMOS25, everybody. Cue the crack, please. Sounds dirty when I said that. Cue the
Look
crack.
At the Kraken. He's excited that a hit record in 1968.
Very, very, very cool. Thank you. Let me hit it again. Sorry about that. Rise, that was it, right?
Yes, great song.
Well, no, that earlier was, this week, What's that?
In 68, it was This Guy's in Love with You. I think Rise was 79. I'd have to check.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Earlier this week, Jennifer Lopez was spotted house hunting without Ben Affleck. It's beginning again. I think a lot of people may have, seen this coming. But at the same time, it's sources and it's tabloids, so it might not be true at all. However, In Touch Weekly says Ben has moved out of their home.
To be fair, it is that time of year for them to break up.
Yeah, they're headed for divorce, apparently. There's that all wonderful unnamed source.
I love
him. I don't know why Bennifer fascinates me, but some of these celebrity couples
do. Well, you love her. That's why.
But I wouldn't want to be married to her. I bet it's a difficult
Rest
situation.
Easy, Carla. He doesn't want to marry her.
A source says, quote, he's focusing on his work and his kids now, and they'll likely have to sell the dream house they spent 2 years searching for. Supposedly, a big bone of contention for them is that Jennifer loves the spotlight and Ben pretty much tries to avoid it. Not like In Touch Weekly wanted to simplify that story,
no,
is it?
No,
it's not like they wanted to make it dumbed down for everybody. Oh, he likes to be close to home.
If they do divorce, who do you think will get custody of the liquor cabinet?
Isn't he completely off the sauce? Right.
I think there's rumors that he goes off and on. So we shall see. I wish them all the best.
The source adds that they both said they'd matured and learned from all their mistakes, but some of the bigger issues that tore them apart in the first place remain the same.
I think the source, Mike, could you reread the quote from the source with a Boston accent? I think that
The source says they're Starikas. They're not going to do that.
Or like every person I know from that area of Massachusetts, hey, Michael, how are you? They all sound like that, and they're all like 3 feet tall.
I like it.
It's great. Okay. How you doing? Hey, I got my hat on, red, white, and blue. There you go. MAGA. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
49-year-old Chelsea Handler. She's a dirty birdie, Rob.
She is. She loves showing her body on social media and doing wacky things.
Apparently, she has a strong lust for 80-year-old Robert De Niro. She says she's always felt sexually attracted to him. And I like Chelsea Handler because Chelsea says things fun like this that we can all talk about the day after. And she would like to be, this is her quote, penetrated by him.
That is, Mike, you always talk about me ruining it. That's disgusting. That's gross.
They were both guests. Oh, that's even more awkward. Okay. They were both guests on The Tonight Show. And when De Niro was asked about it, he said, I don't do De Niro like it. Yeah, if that's what she wants. I don't know if she wants. Tuesday night, Chelsea told Jimmy Fallon, quote, I couldn't even go near him backstage because his girlfriend is back there, and I bet that makes her feel good.
Sure.
And I don't want to her to think that I'm making a move, but I want to make a move. She says she has a penchant for elderly men, and she always dates older. Quote, I mean, at some point I have to stop because it's going to get too old. I get
that's true. But, you know, I think that her word choice of calling a penchant for the elderly, that's different than dating older.
This is true.
Elderly, I tend to think of the rich millionaire that grabs the young piece of ass. And,
but
that's not okay.
Chelsea Handler's 49. She still looks good, and she, I think, is very into physical fitness. And I didn't hear the response from De Niro either on the show or off the show on Jimmy Fallon. But once again, lucky Jimmy Fallon to have that kind of guest, Chelsea Handler, who does a nice job. I like watching.
I believe De Niro looked at her and said, are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? What am I supposed to do, make a comment like that with my girlfriend backstage? You think that's funny? You think that's funny? Do you think that's funny? Do you think that's funny?
I got to sort of, when I'm doing my De Niro, I have to ramp up to my De Niro.
Sure, so it's like, understandable.
You know, and then I become the Jimmy Conway from Goodfellas. You know, it's like, so you said you wanted to be penetrated by me with my girlfriend backstage.
That's gross. Penetrated.
Penetrated? Really, Chelsea? Did you think that was Did you think that was appropriate? Did you think that was appropriate?
See, I get, I find the vein of where, pardon the expression, where I want to get that, and that's
the De Niro
repeating the question. It's the Robert De Niro that's in Goodfellas when they go to the after party at the Lufthansa heist, and they're all driving fancy cars and wearing mink coats. You know,
yeah.
Put it away. Put it away. What are you doing? A bunch of idiots here? Are we a bunch of idiots here? You'd like to be penetrated by me? Come on. What are you talking about?
You know, I think I'd like to get a mink coat.
There you go. Carbone. That's who that was in that show, in that movie. And then Carbone ends up in the back of a meat truck, frozen.
Yes. Unfortunately.
It took a lot of days to thaw him out. We go from very old to very young. Magician David Copperfield has been accused of sexual misconduct by 16 young women. Some of the accusations include drugging three women before having sexual relations, groping women, forcing women to touch him inappropriately during live performances.
What a creep.
We never heard about this until now. Half of the claims are from women who say they were under 18 at the time. You did that? You did that when they were under 18? You thought that was appropriate? That was appropriate to have them grope you while you were on stage?
The source for this story is Robert De Niro.
Look, I went to a show. I saw it. I know what I saw. I know what I saw. That's it. That's it. Joe, didn't you see that?
Hey, I don't know, Henry. You might fold under questioning.
All right. Half of the claims say they were under 18 at the time. And the encounters range from the late 80s to 2014. Copperfield denied, which I've always thought was a kind of a dirty name anyway.
Sounds dirty,
It denies he denies doing any wrongdoing of any kind. Any wrongdoing? Really? That's what you want to go with. Any wrongdoing. See, once I get there, then I can't stop doing it.
I know,
it.
It's like
eating potato chips. his lawyers say he, quote, never acted inappropriately. Never? You never acted inappropriately. You never acted inappropriately.
We're going to go with never acted inappropriately.
Anyway, he said he never acted inappropriately with anyone, let alone anyone underage. The accusations are not only completely false, but also entirely implausible. Lawyers speak. He's been accused of sexual misconduct in the past, which he has denied. So usually it's been our experience that when there are guilty verdicts that come on down the pike, you usually have people that it's not confined to one person and many others come forward.
Yep.
So we'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to make anything. You know, you did get a little out of line. That's when they're in the bar.
This fall at the Mirage.
You bust his balls a little too much. You were breaking balls. What's that, Rob?
This fall at the Mirage, come buy a ticket and watch David Copperfield make all of the accusations disappear.
All of them disappear. There you go. Yep. You're going to hell. You're going to go see an 89-year-old trumpet player with your daughter tonight. You're dragging your daughter to an 89-year-old trumpet player. Really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I got a new mink coat for it.
And a pink Cadillac. And then the only other impression, I don't even know the actor. I love that car. Anyway, you know the scene, right?
I do.
I love the fat guy. I love that car.
And he's been in a billion movies. He always plays the same role.
Magician. I already said that. Sorry. There's a town in Ohio called Marysville, which is getting some press. Because the money pit they put into their public restrooms. There are, obviously, like any town, public restrooms at different places.
Right.
There's nothing special about the amenities. The money is literally cash in some of these. Let me start again.
All right.
Sometimes I get screwed up. Sometimes I screw up when I'm thinking more about the impression. I'm gonna go all the way back to this. There we go. There's a town in Ohio called Marysville, which is getting some press for the money they put into their public restrooms. There's nothing special about the amenities. The money is literal cash. A couple of weeks ago, more than $25,000 was found in a public bathroom at the Avalon Theater, a performing arts venue in Marysville. Less than a week later, more than $12,000 was found in a public bathroom at a KFC, also in the same town.
That's crazy. What's going on there in Marysville?
Well, why don't you ask Bob?
Bob, Robert, I should say.
Are you
Robert.
Telling me they found $25,000 and $12,000?
It's a total of $37,000, Bob.
Oh, you're good, you. You're good. You're good, you.
The police say the cash was hidden in both cases, so it wasn't left there accidentally. In the theater, the bills were in multiple individual stall trash cans. Ew. Earwigs. Ew. And in the KFC, the money was banded up inside the tanks of several toilets.
Okay, so that's clean money. When you first read your lead, I pictured like a porta potty.
No.
And maybe it was hidden in the worst possible place. And would
and
I do that?
You're saying who would root around in the trash? Well, unfortunately, yeah. No one. Both stashes of money were found by employees, so people okay. cleaning up in the
Colonel
businesses.
Found it.
I'd love you to find that old tape. Okay. That, I wish that was more handy than it is. It's entirely different.
It's entirely different.
We found a way to make our bills extra crisp when
crispy.
We put them in the toilet. Kentucky Fried Chicken. So the cops do believe that the two cases were connected, but they don't know how, and they don't have any leads, as far as we know, about the theater and Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's also unclear if any other bathroom cash has been discovered. And, of course, there's the possibility that there have been other cash drops that were taken by whoever was supposed to find them, if that was the intent. So it's an
unsolved mystery,
Mike. It's bathroom unsolved. Cash.
Yes, at KFC. KFC, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Quiet, please. Recording.
Colonel Harlan Sanders.
I found a way to cook. Take two. I found a way to cook extra grit. Come on over
long
and,
enough
and try
it
my
has.
Pastry.
It's like new again.
It's entirely different. And yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger licking good.
I'd better toss
that out.
See, I
found a way to cook chicken
Harlan
deep down
Sanders.
And get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy, and I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. Yet it's entirely different.
Entirely different.
No.
This will be Wild Lines 30, take one.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Stop it.
He said cut it.
Go ahead.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Yet tender and juicy. I said it. Yeah.
That's how I said it.
Take two.
Colonel, if you read it.
It was poor
hey, we're recording!
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Here it is.
Take three.
It's entirely different. It's entirely different. But every bit is. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratched off
yeah,
there
scratch
and quit looking at it.
Quiet, please.
That real crusty, real what kind of damn crispy crust. It's really different.
Colonel.
Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from.
It.
My regular recipe
there it is.
And my new extra crisp.
Crispy.
New extra crispy. I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from.
It's so terrible.
It's entirely different.
It's entirely
different. Yet every bit is finger-licking good, you see. No, every bit is finger-licking good.
See.
You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to
yeah.
get that real crispy crust some folks like. I better do that again, huh?
Yes.
You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake? We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five. Most folks have heard about it.
All right, that's good. Good, very nice.
That's why folks call it finger. That's why folks call it finger.
Oh, poor God.
Good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. I'm not getting anywhere with this damn thing.
Okay, fine.
Mike, after that recording session, not a lot of people know this. Colonel Sanders went to a Herb Alpert concert.
There you go. Oh, my God. And I, you know what? When enough time passes, sometimes
yeah.
that's new again to me. That was a blast hearing that. Finally today, when he heard that, when they handed him his ID, they knew it was fake.
actually when he handed them, this guy, this crook, because it listed his height as 8 feet tall. The tallest living person in the world is 8 foot three, and the tallest ever was 8 foot 11. The driver, 33-year-old Joel Villeda, is actually 5 foot eight. He failed a sobriety test and flunked the breathalyzer, too. He also had an open beer in his cup holder and a six-pack of Corona in the back seat. And on his fake ID, said he was 8 feet tall.
That's
they also
tall.
Found a folded dollar bill with white powder in it that he had later admitted was meth. Turns out he needed the fake ID because he doesn't have a driver's license. And he was wanted for not appearing in court for a previous DUI charge. Mm. When asked about the height discrepancy, Joel looked at the officer and he said,
"What seems to be the problem?"
I'm sorry. That was a long way to go for a stupid joke. I like the Colonel Sanders. We were all over the place in that, and that's what some people like.
Most folks like this.
Crispy.
Yeah. Crispy.
Good one. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Michael Merrill Thrill. Extra crisp. All right, listen up. It's time to discover the transformative power of DermGlowSkin.com for weight loss.
Yeah.
Witness the results yourself. I've shed over 80 pounds, never felt better. By the way, Tuesday's normally shot day. We forgot, and we ended up having shot night last night. Yay.
That's kind of
I've
hot.
Shed over, I love doing it. I don't know why. It's just fun. I've shed over 80 pounds. Yes, putting a needle in my body is fun. I'm telling you the truth.
Do you vary on the placement of it?
No, I like the right side of the tummy. That's what I've been doing lately.
Oh, I always envisioned it elsewhere.
Oh, well, let's not get into that. I've shed over 80 pounds, never felt better. DermGlowSkin.com, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we are talking about. You are going to love the journey. It streamlines weight loss management effortlessly. Simply take a quiz, see if you qualify. Consult with a doctor and have your weight loss medication delivered directly to you. No insurance needed. Once you begin, expect continuous medical support, clinically proven ingredients, and tailored care. All supplies are included, so you can start immediately. Don't hesitate. Isn't it time to shed up to 26% of your body weight? Start the journey. Do it. The easiest thing to do is just get it done. Start.
Yeah.
I'm living proof that it works. Stop the food noise and reclaim your true self. Get excited and reach out to Carla for any inquiries. She's dedicated to assisting you. DermGlowSkin.com. Let's go. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I don't know whether I want to talk about the creepy teacher after that David Copperfield thing. But,
all right. Well, we can put a pin in it.
You know what? It's just another story came across my desk, and it was concerning the portal in New York City, where the technology exists where they have a portal in New York, and it's on the street. This is the way I understand it.
All right.
And it's a portal that goes between New York City and Dublin. And it's like a Zoom call, FaceTime call that's 24/7 where you just walk up and people on the street in New York can look through the portal and see people in Dublin, which I think
see.
Is very,
okay.
very cool.
Just like an ongoing connection, like a video
ongoing
call
connection.
That never stops.
Yeah, but they had to shut it down. They
Why?
Shut it down.
Too many fights?
See. The company, the portals were shaped like sculptures in the cities of Dublin and New York, allowed residents to cross the pond to essentially have public nonstop Zoom meetings with each other.
Josh, is that the Dublin portal or is that the New York portal that we see?
Looks like the New York portal.
That looks like the New York one. They both look the same.
Okay.
The marketing stunt went about as well as practically anybody could have expected. While residents initially waved innocent signs around in an apparent attempt to connect across the Atlantic, the situation quickly descended into chaos.
Of course.
This is from the Atlantic, so it's a reputable source.
Right.
An OnlyFans model flashing the so-called portal. So she whipped them out.
Well, I mean,
another very...
That's just pleasant. I think that's nice.
Yeah, but it's public. So the outcry was there are kids that are looking there, and it's like, you know, the time difference, you know, in Dublin and all. I don't know what it's.
You've been to Dublin, and you've been to.
No, I've been to the west of Ireland. I've never been to Dublin.
Oh,
wanted
I thought
to
you
go
went to Dublin.
Dublin.
Okay, forgive me.
Another very drunk woman was filmed.
Oh, there she is.
Rubbing her behind across the screen. There's the OnlyFans model flashing. And it's funny because there's like this old lady flashing a heart sign and the other lady is doing that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all the guys, hey, look at that. Hey, we're seeing her cans. Isn't that fine? Isn't that fine? Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. And what do you do if she's lying on her back? Huh? That means I'll be a half hour late.
And then the OnlyFans model said, hey, use like.
Less than a week after the installation was unveiled, and pretty cool, a neat idea for the middle of the city, well, officials decided to shut it down temporarily in light of the chaos. It's ironically the perfect window into the kind of mayhem such a stunt can trigger. What it is to me is, once again, it's another example of how we're not grown-ups. That's just the way that
rolls. I think they chose the wrong cities. What if we use the same technology to, say, connect Bowie, Maryland and Chico, California?
Those are very good choices.
Don't you think?
There.
Yeah.
Well, kindred spirits, I would think. Isn't Chico, California really the Bowie of California, and Bowie, Maryland is the Chico, California of Maryland?
I think so. I do. What you need, you need to find cities with a similar mindset.
I think
and then it
great.
Works.
So they took it down. Another thing I wanted to talk about today was when you feel old. We never got to that yesterday as far as what makes you feel old. I was going to say this on yesterday's show. My first experience with saying to myself, I am growing older, would be in the old style Playboy magazines. They used to have the center fold out. And in a very short time, because they were like 19 or 20 or 21, you would have the foldouts showing the age, date of birth. And I said, oh, my God, she was born before after I was born. And that
I remember
was the very
Mike,
first
I can
first
tell you
moment.
Exactly when I saw the first centerfold younger than me. I was in room 317 of Johnson Hall because that was one of the bigger rooms. It was a triple room.
So they would do them at 18 and 19.
And I saw it and I said, wow, that's a page has turned, if you'll pardon the pun. But
we
all sat
that.
Around and said, wow, that's something weird.
Yeah. And it makes you say, well, and it was a weird feeling, wasn't it? Because
very
it was the
weird.
First time you felt... I don't want to overblow it, but
well,
it was
Mike,
the first
it was
time
also
I felt mortality.
Because it was a bunch of guys all sharing a magazine. That was weird, too. But,
it
was college.
I was never comfortable with that. But, back in the day, and you're not that much younger than I am, but back in the day when someone would bring something like that into the college environment, a lot of people would share. That's the way that
they
that
weren't
would happen,
readily available. You know? That's the thing.
And it also at the radio station, I still remember it. At the this is before the era of inappropriate behavior. And nobody was behaving inappropriately. But the very fact now, if you were to bring that into a workplace and open it up, you would be up for disciplinary action. Just like now, if it's on somebody's computer, you can be, whacked for that too, right?
I have two particular memories of that era. One was when we had the lunchroom that had the big glass table. It's not related to the glass table, but you remember the lunchroom that looked out on the parking lot.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It's funny that you qualified that.
I thought that it would help you remember it. Only after it left my mouth did I realize.
Danny Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
These are real long-term show people that will get these references, but go ahead.
But one of the interns' jobs when I was an intern was to go to the deli and make sure sandwiches were waiting for, the talent when they got there. And one time Don got there early and put the most inappropriate picture in your sandwich, and then rewrapped up the white paper. And I believe you were seated next to Miss Bobby.
I was. And that would be a massive thing.
My God. We'd all
you
get
could
called
go to
corporate.
HR and get somebody canned.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now, that would happen like that. But I will tell you, the memory I have is that when someone would bring a magazine a la Playboy, Penthouse, a magazine like that, Swank.
All great.
Jugs.
Oh, Jugs is a more exotic look.
I'm trying to think if there are any other ones.
Cherie.
Cherie! Ah, you win. Cherie. That was a nasty one.
That
wasn't
was.
It?
Yeah, it was.
Hustler.
Yeah. Oh, Hustler, of course. Yes.
So, do you remember that when someone would bring something like that in, the women at the radio station were just as curious?
Yeah.
as the guys were.
Yeah, it's
just
true.
To see, oh, let me look at that. I remember that. Which,
I
in a
too.
Way, I don't know why I bring that up, but I bring it up because I, you know, in a weird way, and I'm not trying to say let's go to the throwback when,
no,
but it was an innocent, silly thing.
I think silly is a big word there, and we've lost a lot of silly. I do, one thing that wasn't silly that I do remember from that era was when our chief engineer could not figure out why the primitive internet that we had in the building would sort of block up, really sort of lock up and slow down.
Let me set this up for
okay,
you.
Okay, please do.
All right, because what Rob's referring to is back in the early days of internet connectivity,
yeah,
it was not as sophisticated nor certainly as fast as it is right now.
No, so low.
You would, in a building, in a business, at home. I mean, if you go back far enough, you remember, like, you would download a picture of somebody and it would be doing the back and
the
forth
lines.
When it would try. That's literally on your screen. You're waiting for this thing to come down. But if you had a bunch of people that were online, it could, you know, it's everybody on the same pipe and it would be slow. And during our show, when we wanted to be fleet of foot, right, to get material or
and
well,
we
you know the behind the scenes as to why we wanted it to be faster.
We,
and why we were complaining
complained. I mean, we had access that we needed internet for different things. And we complained to our engineer that stuff that during the morning when we're prepping the show was fine. And then between 3 and 7, it was slow. And they did a mini investigation and it turned out the guy who was running the delay button for our show, because our show
Travis,
I wasn't going to mention a name, but sure, let's say Travis.
I didn't say
listen,
last name.
He would listen to the entire show, and if anything,
God, we made him public back then. We talked about it, you know.
If there was anything that was inappropriate, it was his job to hit the dump button. But that also meant that he had 4 hours to sit by himself, and they found out that from 3 to 7, this guy was just surfing porn. All 4 hours a day in a little room with the door shut, saying
was
that he was judging us for content, but it was porn. And once he stopped, it got better.
The guy that was monitoring us for saying bad words had all that crap on his computer. And when they disciplined him for it, the problem went away, right?
Yes.
I mean, it freed up the pipe a little
bit. The whole
so to speak.
Can you imagine the pipe? Can you imagine if you were caught surfing porn exclusively for 4 hours to a point that you were hampering the business, what your discipline would be now?
Right.
The discipline then was stop.
Yeah.
That was it.
Absolutely.
That was
Absolutely. That's it. And the last thing, it's kind of related in a way. You had a creepy teacher story. And is it in Loudoun County that this is happening?
No, I think it's Prince George's. It's Maryland.
Okay.
And Mike, this was the hot topic.
Can I just say I always think about that? I always think, and I don't think that means I'm a bad person. I think what it means is I'm vigilant. And I think that, unfortunately, the harsh reality is that people that take certain horrible human beings that participate in bad activities around children gravitate towards children-related jobs.
Of
That's
course.
Just the reality.
I think that is reality. And this, Mike, was
so that's
such
the
a
setup for that.
This was such a hot topic. It made Channel 9's new feature Verify. And Verify.
That's they call it Verify.
Verify. Very serious. And they're thinking that this teacher did he cross a line when he had his students braid his hair, and do other things as well.
Last Friday, 10 minutes before dismissal time, I decided to live stream my students helping me take my hair out.
This Prince George's County teacher is getting a lot of attention and criticism after posting this video of his students braiding his hair in school. As of Wednesday, the video has gained nearly 7 million views on his TikTok page alone, and it's been reposted all over.
My goal is to use all these words in class.
Marquise White says he's a middle school science teacher, and we've confirmed with Prince George's County Schools he is a teacher in the county. He says he asked 4 to 5 of his students who he calls besties for help.
Besties. A couple of these were students from my class, but others were students from other classes.
He says he only picked students that were finished with work, and it all happened during the last 10 minutes of class. In another video, White says he also lets his students paint his nails.
The student that you see in this video has goals and aspirations to be a nail tech.
Don't you think that's over the line?
Do I want to die on that hill? No.
Okay.
Do I think it's just a little... I don't know. You know, there's part of me that says with the hair braiding that it would be... it's like when they face paint or something like that.
No, it's different than that. It is because it is? This is like, they're like servicing the teacher. I hate to use that word, but, and he's using it as like a reward. And what if that's his thing? He wants to be, you know, I don't know.
The substitute teacher, your son, Robert III, did he have to cancel his plans to bring the claw bathtub into the classroom and bathe in front of the students?
I was shocked he came home. His hair had beautiful braids.
What is it? It's hard to articulate what makes it a little odd.
It is. Right? And it really, I think it's a, you got to go with your gut as a parent. It strikes me as wrong, especially the painting of nails. Now, I can remember there was an occasional teacher like I would give them a hug if something went well, but this was isolated. You know, it wasn't.
What do you mean you would give them a hug?
You know, sneak up behind and hug them. No, there was a couple English teachers that were very close to me. And
I got an A.
No, it was like
I got an A. I'm from a broken home. I'm so needy.
I'm gonna in 20 years. I'm gonna be an alcoholic. Let me hug you.
Now, Josh, you wanted to weigh in on this.
Well,
please,
I was just
Josh.
You know, this teacher was fired over this video.
Oh, see, I think you can just be heavy-handed and say don't do that. And but you gotta be. I don't know.
I think it's really hard to relate to kids nowadays.
I agree.
And he's a middle school teacher trying to be the cool teacher and relate to his kids.
That I do not see. I am on the
fence. You can
do
it without nail polish, though.
Well, but you think he should have been fired?
I don't.
I think maybe a
conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sit him down. I go, listen, dude, you know, focus on the teaching a little bit. And, but yeah, to relate to kids, to get, they think if if they think you're the cool teacher, right? And, but the nails combined with the hair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, it sounds like if he's calling these students, and remember, this is middle school. So you're looking at 12 and 13 year old kids.
Right.
And you take a 13 year old and you call them your bestie, and you're in a position of power, and you're saying your reward is to come and touch my head and braid my hair and then paint my nails. That's. It shouldn't be, at the least, it shouldn't be used as a reward.
It's an understandable debate. I get it. I understand. But I don't know. Firing, you know, perhaps, talking to him and stuff like that. But now it's canceled. Everybody gets canceled.
And it's hard to aim at the word bestie because my kid comes home with a new word every single day. So if that's the word going around schools and middle schools right now, he's trying to relate.
It's amazing how people just get their ticket punched for
right.
You know, anything. We don't have any second chances anymore. That's the way I feel about that. And you know, think of all those teachers that would hug little Rob.
Stop it! It wasn't like an ongoing, like at the end of the year or something, or after a show. Come on. Braiding their hair.
That's why Rob, in his high school yearbook, had his nickname right underneath his class picture.
What was it?
His nickname was Boner. That was it. That is so
They always knew when I was in the room.
I'm drinking liquid IV now.
Here he comes.
Summertime hot weather requires extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. I have a commercial to do.
Yeah.
3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. I'm drinking it right now. I'm drinking my lemon lime. Single
Yum.
Stick. It's all you need. Number one powdered hydration brand in America. I love this stuff.
Got everything you need. Clinically tested nutrients. Turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. A zero-sugar hydration solution. No artificial sweeteners. You're going to love it. Tear, pour, live more.
Yes,
one
sir.
Stick in 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary into extraordinary hydration. Water, that is. Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMOS at checkout. 20% off your first order. Shop better hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com, ladies and gentlemen, and we appreciate
How
it.
How about Thank a hug, Mike?
How about a hug? Now, we don't have much time, so I did want to bring up the thing about you know you're old when. You know you are old when they are tearing down the Mirage Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And you remember when that was the brand new, brand spanking new Mirage Hotel.
I can't believe they are. Well, I can, because the last time we were out there, it's
we went to it. We went to the Mirage.
Yeah, well, that was the home of the Beatles Love Show. And also, yeah. I know you hated it, Mike. I'm sorry. I know that you weren't a fan of that
show.
Well,
I don't like Cirque du Soleil.
I know.
I don't like Cirque. It was not the Beatles as much as it was the whole Beatles combined with Cirque du Soleil.
Okay, all right.
It's like, you know, everything. That wasn't that really the time when everything had to be Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah,
right?
They had a trend. They did have a trend out there. And from the exterior, it was still a beautiful property. They built it, that theater that we saw the Beatles show in, was built for Siegfried and Roy. And so they built, they opened the Mirage on the backs.
I bet they got some. No, I'm not.
Stop it.
Stop. Sorry about that.
But okay. They let them braid their hair. It was built on the backs of Siegfried and Roy.
Right.
But I do remember going in there, and it had that thing where the casino seemed low and dark. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. But in its inception, it was the first of its kind.
It
spawned all the super casinos with the amazing construction and the
over
opulent
the
casinos over the top with the Venetian, and then you know, Wynn built two more, you know, and it was just. But I don't even know what year. Somebody would have to look up the year.
1989.
So wow. That's when you know. Yeah. And now they're going to be tearing it down, and they're going to be putting
not fully. It's being renovated.
Oh,
major
oh.
renovations.
But they're tearing the tower down and putting up the guitar, right?
Yes.
Aren't they doing that?
That's one of the major renovations.
That's
what
and
guitar?
So they're going to tear it down.
It is becoming a hard rock.
Hard rock, like the one they have in Miami, over here in Hollywood, Florida. Which, by the way, does not get the stellar reviews. However, if you want to do some car watching, go to the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida on a Friday or Saturday night.
All right.
I saw what looked like 11-year-olds getting into a Lamborghini SUV that was followed by the other group of 11-year-olds getting into a Rolls Royce. And I remember they were driving away, and I looked at Carl, and I went, "What have I done wrong? What have I done wrong?" But it is.
I just hope they keep the Carnegie Deli. Because I recall making so many visits to there the last time we were in Vegas out in that area that you would walk over and videotape me eating the sandwich.
We went there together. Did
yes,
we not, to
it was fantastic. I went many
Rob
times.
Rob and I would always date when we're in Las Vegas. We'll be right back, everybody. Oh, I got my things. I got my things.
Hold Mike, this is important. This talks about social media. It's big.
Social media. The numbers are increasing, but this is just a gentle reminder for all of you that it's a new modern era for the Mike O'Mara Show, and we are modern guys. Anyway, the new modern thing is social media.
It is not.
That was a joke, Mike. It's a joke.
I don't like your joke. I have to read it, please. That's just, God. Look, we love it like nobody. You're making me sound like the guy from Internet.
I know. Dick Robinson.
Dick Robinson.
I don't
this
mean to
This
make...
is what we...
No, it's social
right,
media
rewrite
is
it.
Important.
Skippy, rewrite it so we can really just tell people
okay,
what we
Betty.
Need.
Okay, Betty.
All right? All we right. love it like nobody's business.
Yeah, it's great. You think
no,
we're not addicted?
We
we want the show needs you, the listener, to come along on the Social Media Express for us because we've made a change.
Yeah.
If you can hear my voice right now, we need you to hop on Facebook and like and share our new Facebook page. It's just called The Mike O'Mara Show.
That's it.
And be sure to like and share all of our content on Twitter or X, if you prefer, TikTok, YouTube, good old Instagram. Be a part of the fun. Like, share, and laugh. And then the actual instructions are one sentence. But the shtick jokes are like, ta-da. Josh, we need, please explain to our listening audience here that we are, it's helping build the brand, and we simply want people to go to that new, because people have been on.
There's lots of fan groups.
Yes,
but we want people to come to our official page. And I was just looking, we have a whole lot of followers on our page that have not liked our page.
Like our page.
So if you could just take a look and make sure that you've also liked the page and followed the page.
That's it. It's what everybody in the world asks you on social media.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And by the way, that's every bit of content we put out there, whether it's Facebook or not. If you're seeing a video you like, if you're seeing any place they have an option for you to do that, we would like you to do that.
Do.
But for now, we are trying to drive our folks over there and to hang out on the places you normally hang out too. But the new one is The Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes.
And that's where we are going to be first with all major announcements for the show that you don't hear on this program right here. And do it. So we thank you. And now welcome back to the show. Where are we?
We're at this place.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I've lost my place. It's a busy program for that.
Very busy.
Yes. Rob.
Mike. Sorry.
How about a hug?
Mike, this is cool. I've not heard this one yet. You know, sometimes I like to play isolated vocals or instrumentals from bands.
I love it when you do that.
And this one, we make fun of this guy, but if you really listen to his voice, he is a great singer. This is maybe the greatest yacht rock record of all time.
Okay.
It's Michael McDonald singing What a Fool Believes, isolated. Listen to his, I know you're going to chuckle, but his voice
is... Well, because we've done the shtick with that all the time.
His voice is great.
Okay. He came from somewhere back in where long ago. The sound of the fool don't see trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created. Once in her life, she musters a smile for his nostalgic tale. Never coming near what he wanted to say.
What surprises me about it,
I really
what
could.
Surprises me about it is you don't realize what a range he has.
Because
he's hitting the low notes and he's not even stretching on the high notes.
Now, is it? Am I right in saying, though, some of the words are hard to understand?
They've
even
always
when you
been
hear the isolated vocal.
Always
track.
Been hard to understand. Well, I always thought he was a Cocker Spaniel-y. That's all. But I do love his voice. And here's to him. I do think it's funny that one of the comments on YouTube was some lady who just said, he's so handsome.
A dreamboat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
People that like that kind of bear look.
Yeah. Kind of like my dad in the day had a Michael McDonald look.
Never
Kenny Rogers.
The first time I met your dad, I said, what happened to Rob?
Stop it. Okay,
your dad had like an earring and this big beard and it was tall.
My favorite thing is the first radio-styled appearance that my dad came out to, and I was nervous because I wanted, you know, people to be cool with him because he was meeting people that he listened to on the radio. And one of the people there was John Popp, producer of The Liddy Show. And all I wanted was people to treat my dad like a cool guy. And he had a beaded belt. And it was cool at the time. And I said, John, this is my father, Bob Spiewak. And John Popp said, hey, what's up, Squanto?
Because he wore the belt.
Because he wore a beaded belt. What a dick. All right.
That's
Mike,
funny.
In Guatemala, I did not know this. Did you know that when a volcano, an active volcano, starts to discharge its lava, there's a lot of static electricity? And because of that, it's not uncommon for lightning to strike volcanoes.
I know.
However, this one is over the top.
Okay.
Watch this.
Whoa!
man.
Mother Nature,
what
man.
What a great capture. What a great capture. That is, can you do that one more? Roll that
Absolutely.
One more time.
Sure.
I want to see that because that is an amazing
started from the
capture
front.
At perfect timing. There's the smoke coming out of the top of the volcano.
It's just, it looks like it's not a lot of an eruption, but certainly something.
And now, boom, boom. Electrical activity all the way.
Whoa.
Right in the top of the plume of smoke, the lightning bolt comes.
So cool. And what I love about it is the Doppler effect of the strike and how long it takes to hear the thunder. Because
and
it's
we
so-
are, you know, it's interesting because their meteorologists down here are calling this the beginning of the rainy season down here. In the H word is being mentioned too, preparations, because we begin now starting to think about the summertime weather, which is rain almost on a daily basis, and then, you know, hopefully not too many bad storms.
But like you get so much moisture in the air, you get like 20 minutes of rain a day, and like the morning and the evening can be fine, right?
The storms come usually mid-afternoon, mid to late afternoon, but they can be at any time at all, and it's tropical down here, and it is humid, and it's all day today. Thunderstorms all day today.
I want to comment, you're right, it's not the Doppler effect. It is the difference of light and sound traveling at their speeds. I said Doppler effect, it's not right.
Doppler's radar, Rob.
Yes, it is. And also, it has to do with doubling because of the German word Doppel, doesn't it?
No.
Okay.
Doppler is a name.
Johnny Doppler.
Johnny Doppler. John Doppler. War criminal found in Argentina.
And he invented radar.
Let's move on, please.
Mike, let's close with this. This one is sad. You like to cook as I like to cook. And one of the things that still sort of beguiles me is olive oil, because you can buy the regular olive oil, you can buy the EVOO olive oil.
Hard to know what you're getting, right?
Exactly. You want to use the right olive oil for the right application. This lady's mom also had trouble.
Okay, I feel so bad. Look at what my poor mother did. She just cooked this beautiful meal, this like Tuscan chicken and this
amazing
sauce with a new olive oil that she ordered from online. This pure Greek olive oil that she had ordered online, this delicious meal that she spent forever on. And only after she'd finished did we discover that it's shower gel.
It's olive oil
she
shower
had to
gel.
Leave the room because she's so angry.
Now she tastes it and spits it out.
The chicken tastes like straight up soap. How do you feel right now?
There's mom.
Like, I want to physically hurt someone and hit something really hard.
I get it. Where did Rob go? Rob
I'm
vanished.
Here.
Oh,
I'm
there
here.
You are. Oh, man, that's, they made it look like the food.
I know, Mike.
Bastards.
It's straight up soap.
That's funny. Straight
that dish
up
does
soap.
Not, Mike, that dish does not slap.
That, and it looked like, man, she took some time. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a bonus show.
Yes.
Don't forget that thing we told you about Facebook page, The Mike O'Mara Show. Follow
Please.
And like. Get over there. Do that today. We're building those numbers up to help the show. Thank you very much. For Josh Soroka and also Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying we'll see you tomorrow for the bonus show, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
At what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh my goodness, how modern.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.